Okay, all right. So this time I got everything. Okay, yeah, everything's set. I got the plugs are good. I'm VPNing it this time, so those bums don't get us again. And I think we're good. Ed, you're coming in clear. All right.
Is your brain clear?
No, look, after what happened last week, I don't really need, you know, us to be, you know, kind of under siege again. So I made sure I paid $200 for this new VPN. Trust me, ain't no one finding us this time. So,
okay.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the newest episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast. We're here and we are in control. Episode number 251. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
Ant, what's going on?
Oh, you know, questioning somebody's intelligence is always a great way to start the show.
You know what? I got news for you. Between, you know, what Rich and Jake Jack did last week, I don't blame you questioning anything.
Okay. Speaking of, thank you very much, Rich and Jack, for, you know, stepping in for our episode 250. We thought, you guys did an awesome job. And as always, we love having you on the show and we look forward to having you back. So thank you guys very much for last week.
What do you mean step in?
Come on,
Larry. Sorry. I saw it afterwards.
You know what? Why don't we just move on? Because I don't want to get into this with you because this may be our last episode.
I want to know how they hacked the audio portion as well, but whatever. So Rich, Jake Jack, you'll never be seen again. So
yeah. Talk to you guys soon.
This week we got some good stuff happening this week. You know, mostly we're gonna have a lot of news presented, but we got a lot of new stuff coming out as well. And for a week that had some cool news and a great new game drop, I was not home all week, so I really didn't get a chance to take advantage of everything.
Yeah, no, it was definitely like a busy week across the across retro and current. So I think we're going to be a little bit all over the place in terms of coverage this
which
week,
is fine.
But it's cool. You know, I always enjoy talking about new stuff, you know, almost as much as I like talking about retro, but also when there's new stuff tied back to retro, it's always fun. So.
Oh no. Look, cause we play games, we're gamers, you know, unlike streamers who claim to be gamers because they play Fortnite 24 hours a day, we play various stuff. So
don't anger the Fortnite players.
I am ready to anger them. I did bring with me though my Nintendo Switch, and just for a fun fact, I just want to show you these controllers, folks. If you don't have this type of Joy-Con and on your Switch, get them because they are awesome. It is I don't know what exactly they're called. They're from Nintendo. Of course, the D-pad is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is they're not Bluetooth. Like you can only use them in handheld mode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
No. It's because you know, it's all stock. None of that works.
I get that. But like, I would need mine for Bluetooth.
That's what makes them on the cheap. Makes them less expensive.
That part I get. I go, but when I play, a lot of times I play at home. So
yeah.
Right. So that wouldn't work for me.
Well, I'm okay. But they're cool anyway.
They're cool. I'm not going to lie. They're cool. And I do need to get another Joy-Con because I am dealing with the drift issue on my left Joy-Con. So, and I've survived all this time with just one set. So I haven't
better person than I am.
Well, I know you have like 20 of them.
I did.
Cause you buy like every color, but I've only had one set this entire time. I've had my Switch and then I have the Pro controller. So I've gotten by just on those up until now, but it's time for me to get another set of Joy-Cons.
Well, at this point you're probably better off seeing if they re-release like some new ones because of the OLED. System, and we're going to talk about the OLED in a minute, but first things first, I do want to just mention, and Ant, I don't know if you've actually downloaded it yet, but and I'm still waiting to hear back from our former friend Rich, who's a big fan of the series, and I'm not
our
even
current friend
sure
Rich,
maybe your friend but not mine anymore. This is how we do special effects or graphics.
Yes. Very nice. Trend. We keep it real. Physical effects only.
Metroid Dread. The game just is phenomenal. That's just out of the box. It is amazing.
That's all that I'm hearing. The reviews have been nothing but solid. As somebody who has only played and beaten the first Metroid and really needs to go back and play the rest of them, I did start Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo Mini, or a Super Nintendo Classic, but yeah, so like everybody's talking about how great Dread is. So I definitely want to pick it up. It is on, it's on my very long list of purchases, but there are just so many games. Like, again, it's one of those things. It's like there so are. Many games, no, not enough time.
Definitely never enough time. Never enough time. And we're going to talk about, because there's a lot of great games coming out and a lot of re-releases coming out. But just to focus on Metroid Dread, and yes, I'm not a huge Metroid fanatic. I'm not saying I'm not a fan. I may not have never played the games, but I definitely respect the series. Yep. And I mean, the only game I really deep dove into was Metroid Fusion on Game Boy Advance. I told that story previously, and the game is wonderful. Super Metroid, actually hailed as one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Super Metroid, which I keep trying. I might actually play, because upcoming, I'm helping out with a live stream with our friends over at Victims and Villains.
Yep.
And I as might do I. Super Metroid. Yes. Yeah. Well, we both are, but I haven't done it in a while. So I might do a Super Metroid. I'll see. I don't know.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. But, I have not selected my game for that yet.
But after playing Metroid Fusion, after, you know, dipping my hand into the original Metroid and Super Metroid, I got to say Dread, I just feels like those 2D Metroid games. Forget about Prime and all that. But these games, and in the very beginning that I have so far, I haven't gotten far into the game because, you know, I've already encountered my second Emmy, and it's already destroying me more often than not. Nice. So the feel of Dread will be, the title is perfect with these stupid Emmy running around.
Emmy or enemies?
Emmy, E-M-M-I.
E-M-M-I.
The robots. The robots.
The robots are called Emmys. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
And I forgot what it stands for, but it definitely gives you a sense of dread, no pun intended. And bottom line, though, I am loving it. I'm literally just started the game. But if you haven't gotten your hands on it, it's a first party game. So, you know, they rarely go on sale. They might drop $5 on Black Friday. So you might as well just buy it now.
Impossible. Yeah, it's just one of those things, right? I mean, the Metroid series has been well known to release just hit after hit after hit. But they've been quiet for a while, so it's nice to see it. I remember, I don't know if you remember, when I randomly found the Nintendo World Championship qualifier like several years ago. I think it was like 4 years ago.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. And they were doing, it was Mario Kart on,
yes. Yes.
So they were doing, I forgot, was it Mario Kart 7 or whatever? It was on the handheld. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, there was they were doing like they had it set up where you could preview gameplay of Metroid, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. There's a new Metroid game coming, and now 4 years later, here it is.
Was it's it a long this? Time so was it Metroid Prime 4?
I don't think it was Metroid Prime 4.
Interesting.
At least I don't. Unless I'm remembering it, it's very possible I'm remembering it correctly because my memory is awful.
It's that long ago that Metroid Prime 4 was announced and then almost seems like it was canceled, even though it was never officially canceled.
Right, because it just disappeared. But I'm just wondering if no, because wasn't Metroid Prime more like first person?
Absolutely.
So no, it was a side-scrolling Metroid.
Interesting.
So I think whatever game they were planning then, maybe it was Dread, or maybe it wasn't and it became Dread, or they used it, you know, whatever it was, but it just made me remember that. And I'm like, oh yeah, there was that side-scrolling Metroid I saw like 4 years ago.
All right, we'll take it. Sounds cool. Get your hands on it though, well worth it. And it doesn't matter which Switch you're using, get it for the Switch. And speaking of that,
it's only available for the Switch.
It is only available on the Switch, but depending on whether you have the original Switch, the Switch Lite, or now the OLED Switch.
Yeah, now talk to me about the OLED.
I will talk to you about the OLED because it's really...
Did you buy it?
I did not. No, I did not.
Wow.
I can't find it anywhere. And we talked about it before when it was announced and the stats came out on the OLED I said it then. I think we both agreed on it. A lot of people have said it and even saying it today. In handheld mode, if you're going to upgrade and you play the Switch on handheld, absolutely 100% get the OLED. Mm-hmm. Because now that companies and websites have gotten their hands on the OLED, they're saying that the screen is absolutely beautiful. Mm. Bigger, brighter, you know, I guess the refresh rate's better. You know, compared side by side, it is definitely a world of difference in handheld mode. But they've said, literally, if you compare the OLED to the original Switch in dock mode, there is nothing different between, literally nothing different between the two. So, yeah, I mean, I play mostly in dock mode. How do you usually play it?
Yeah, I mean, well, unless I'm traveling, I do use my Switch for travel and obviously, I haven't been traveling for like, you know, mm-hmm. a year or so, but now that I am starting to travel again, I'd probably say it's more 50-50.
Okay.
More dock mode than handheld, now that I think about it.
Okay.
Because when I'm home, I'm just playing it on my TV.
No, true. But like if I was in your shoes and I know the amount of travel you used to do, plus the amount of travel you will be doing or might be doing. Mm-hmm. If I was in your shoes, for that sake, I would probably upgrade because of that. Me, I don't go anywhere. I'm a hermit. So mm-hmm. I only stay in dock mode. So I am not going to upgrade unless the Switch breaks, like my original Switch
breaks. Right. Well, and that's just normal. Like if it breaks, you might get the newer version.
Of course. But there's in a lot of times where, yeah, I'm always the first one to jump on the bandwagon. This OLED, again, gorgeous, but not worth the upgrade in dock mode. Mm. In handheld mode, though, let's talk about that. Because while in handheld mode, this OLED is just apples and oranges compared to the other one. It's literally a bigger screen.
Yep.
I don't know the full dimensions, don't get me wrong, but I'm just, you know, comparing it. Maybe we'll throw some pictures up on here. Definitely a bigger screen. the dock, you know, on the original, make sure I got this in camera. On the original, it's just this little guy here that just, you know, just pops out so easily like that. Where the OLED, it's the entire bottom half that will open up to be a dock.
Which is good. Because I don't like that little stand at all.
Yeah, no, not only that, but where you put, if you have a memory card, the OLED version is more of a horizontal than a vertical. So you don't run the risk of accidentally popping this out when you're trying to open it up. Some other aesthetics that they changed. Now, again, this is the original Switch, but like the power button and the volume, that got a little bit of a different look to it. Nothing major. But the biggest one that everyone's complaining about, and I would as well, is that part there where the game card goes into.
Okay.
So if you look on mine, there's a little notch above, right?
Right.
Yep. Where you kind of, you know, kind of makes it easy to open this up, even for those of us who like have no fingernails from a disgusting habit. But, you know, it makes it easy to open that up. On the OLED version, that is not there.
Oh, that's a no-no.
Yeah, the OLED version, it's just straight across.
Why would you leave that out? And that's just wrong.
Even if you are able to, you know, pry a fingernail under there to pop it open on the OLED, I don't even know how that's even possible.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest complaint. And if that's the biggest complaint, okay, I'll take it.
Well, and now I'm just looking up some information just to answer your what you brought up before in terms of the screen size.
Yeah, I was going to say, almost if you imagine a lot of this, the black outline of the screens.
Yeah.
Just imagine that old video.
Well, I was just going to say the OLED screen is 7 inches, which compared to the one you're holding right now, the original Switch is 6.2. Mm-hmm. And then the Switch Lite is 5.5.
Well, Switch Lite, we always knew was.
Right. But I'm just saying like, it's a significant jump from the Switch in terms of size. Like a seven inch screen is, that's it's significant big. For a handheld. Yeah.
It's definitely big. The Joy-Con rails are a little different. In fact, another small complaint, but it wouldn't be for a lot of people, except if you have the accessory. I apologize. You can hear there's some work going on here in the house that I'm in right now. The flip grip, there was this item and I showed it years ago, flip grip that lets you play the Switch in horizontal mode.
Yes. I remember you showing that.
Which is awesome for shoot 'em ups and everything like that. but it will not work with the new OLED just because of the slightly larger design. But the company who makes Flip Grip is actually already in the process
of working on an OLED version, of course.
So that's cool. Of course, the dock itself is very cool, very rounded edges to the dock. The dock is white instead of black. I don't know if it's going to come in various colors. The biggest thing about the dock that I like, that I might buy the dock by itself, is a LAN port built into the dock.
Oh, okay.
And that is big time, especially if you're playing like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yes.
You want to have that connection, that LAN connection. I have an adapter, so mine is still connected to LAN, but it's always better to have it installed into the system. But other than that, that's basically about it. So again, bottom line, for those who play in dock mode, do you need to upgrade? Absolutely not.
Nope.
If you're playing in handheld mode, absolutely do the upgrade.
Okay.
That's where that's at.
That's Larry's advice. Absolutely spend $350, even if you have a Switch.
Well, you sell back the old one, you get some money back.
Considering the fact that we've had conversations numerous times about the pitfalls of selling things back because we just go back and buy them again.
Well, except for systems. I'm not really going back to find an original PS2. I got a PS2 Slim. But if I was to sell this back to upgrade to the OLED, I'm not going to miss this version.
Right. Well, I have both PS2s.
Well, there you go. Hunky-dory. So well worth it. Look into it, of course. Give it a shot. But and the other thing about the OLED, which apparently is a big warning, but people aren't listening to it. On the OLED, there is a pre-installed screen protector on it that people are taking off for one reason or another.
Okay.
And even in the instructions, apparently it says, do not touch that screen protector.
Yes.
Reason being, and I didn't realize this. So this is plastic. The actual screen itself is plastic. The one on the OLED is glass.
Glass.
And the reason for the protection is, God forbid, the glass breaks. That film keeps it all together. So it's actually a pure safety reason.
Well, I was just going to say, this also sounds like it's a very fragile, very fragile console.
I wouldn't say that because this has got, cell phones got glass on it, but they can still break.
No, I understand that.
So, it's there. Nintendo's covering all bases. So,
And I'm sure the repair bills are going to be great for them when they charge you.
Listen, if I broke the glass on an OLED, I'm buying a new system.
Well, then there's that too. See?
So, but yeah, good stuff on the Switch. And if any of you out there already have your hands on an OLED, or maybe you plan on getting an OLED Switch, let us know in the comments. Curious to know what you think about the new OLED system.
There you go.
But at that point, Ant, I think it's time to move on. We got a lot of news. A lot of things have happened. I mean, we talked about a lot last week that no one knows about, because it's now gone into the internet somewhere because of those two jerks.
All right. Joke's over. You're killing it. It's dead.
You should have seen what I bought before I had to return it. But in any event, let's get into some news, some great news that happened over the last week or so.
Yes, let's get into news, because I don't want to talk about what you're talking about anymore.
That's why one of us likes to have fun. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
I know, catch up with me.
Gets its final DLC character, and honestly, I think they saved the best for last.
That is debatable, I guess.
As soon as I said it, yes, there's a thousand other characters, but
yes, you are
with the lineup that they have, with all the DLC they have, though.
Yes,
all the DLCs, because this has already been planned in the works for a while. They purposely saved it for last.
Yes.
So let me rephrase that. For the ones that they were able to sign off on, this is the best one to save for last.
I can argue that, yeah.
All right, you can argue anything. So let's talk
about
my
job.
Who is the final DLC character?
Oh, the final DLC character is none other than Sora from the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
Yes. I won't lie, I kind of thought it was going to be, I thought they were going to do a tribute and make it Iwata, former president. Yeah. But Sora makes a lot more sense.
No, Sora makes a lot more sense. I think the biggest outcry from the universe are all those Waluigi lovers.
It is true.
Who got denied their Waluigi. So sorry about that. I have, based on the response from all that, it was funny because when they announced Sora, we'll get back to Sora in a second, but when they announced Sora, the first thing I thought of was, ooh, I go, what if Nintendo is planning like this big Waluigi takeover for the next Smash Brothers because of all of this? Like, he becomes like the main villain in the next Smash Brothers.
Maybe. You're right.
For being left out.
But how can you have a next Smash Brothers when this one is called Ultimate?
The Ultimate Ultimate.
Gotcha. Penultimate.
Right? No, Penultimate's before the Ultimate.
Oh, okay, whatever.
I was about to say Penultimate, but I'm like, no, that's pre-Ultimate. No, this would be the Ultimate Ultimate or Super Ultimate or whatever. It would be.
But yes, no Waluigi, but we do get Sora. And during the presentation, when they announced the character, you get all that. You knew it was going to be the last one. You know, we've gone through, how many are there? 6, 10, maybe 12. I don't have the number in front of me. But definitely double digits, I believe, as far as all the DLC characters.
Yes.
And every time they did it, Sakurai, you know, the Masahiro Sakurai, the series creator, always did these presentations, and they always felt, you know, they just felt warm, and you know, like his passion for the game always translated through through YouTube and everything.
Yes.
So when he went into the last one, you knew it was kind of like a sentimental moment, kind of a bittersweet. This is the last one. But then they start to show the video, like, all right, what could it be? Who could it be? What's going on? And then you just see, because at first you don't realize it's Keyblade, but then you see this thing with a keychain with the Mickey Mouse logo on it. And I honestly thought it was going to be Mickey Mouse before putting two and two together. I'm like, that is a coup. That would be phenomenal. That's almost as good as Jetsons beating the Flintstones.
Right.
And then Sora came out. I'm like, that makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
Especially since Sora is owned by Square Enix. And you don't got to go to Disney to get the rights to Mickey.
They still had the Mickey Mouse logo. So I'm sure they had to get something in there.
Well, yeah, Disney. I'm sure they had to get that, I'm sure. But still, I think if Disney was going to do Mickey Mouse in like a fighting game, which I don't think they'll ever do. Like,
no,
I think they would create their own like Disney version of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, of course. You know? But nevertheless, Sora, and everyone's loving it. You know, like I said, I believe of all the already announced characters, because apparently this deal happened, if I read it correctly, this deal happened a while ago, but they wanted to literally save him for last. Yeah. They're going to have, you know, 9 Kingdom Hearts songs will be in the soundtrack. Nice. If you have Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory on the Switch already saved, you will get an additional song into the series. Now, of course, whenever there's a character, there's always a stage level. So we're going to get Hollow Bastion, which is the Mallet. I can never pronounce it. Maleficent inhabitants.
Maleficent?
Yes, that, right? Same as the movie, right? No?
Okay. I'm not sure.
The one with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that was Maleficent.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So that's the level, because that was the last level of the original Kingdom Hearts. Yep. And yeah, just bottom line, it looks, you know.
Oh, I remember that battle. That was a good battle.
Sora just looks top notch. And yeah, you know, on top of that, they announced like 3 Mii Fighter costumes from Splatoon, Doom Slayer, and I think there was one other. But yeah, so this looks pretty cool.
I have not played my Smash Brothers game in a long time. I got to put that back in just to get all the DLC.
Yeah, honestly, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they made even a bigger announcement that if you enjoy Sora so much, but you never played any of the games that Sora's from, all the Kingdom Hearts games are coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Yep. You know, it's funny though, that Kingdom Hearts is one of those series where it's like, it felt like it always belonged on Nintendo.
Yeah, right? I agree with
you. But it was always exclusive to Sony.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Kingdom Hearts 3 debuted on Xbox was the first one.
Yeah, 3 was the first one, which is like what? Like 12 games in? When you count all the 2.4s and all that stuff.
Well, we talked about that before, I think.
Yes, we have, and we're not going into that again. would be the time of year to go back into that, because if I remember correctly, when we talked about that, I compared it to the Halloween franchise.
You did, with the new movie coming out.
Yeah, with the new movie coming out. I think we should do a redo now that we have a new Halloween franchise. Oh, boy. So I got to go back to that.
Might have to do that next week.
Right.
Now, of course, everyone has to complain about something, right? These, and we're getting Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, and Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Remind. But all of these will be cloud versions.
Yeah, I saw that. And you know me with the cloud stuff. It doesn't sit well with me because I like to own my physical copies of games. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just one of those things where it's like, well, here's the question. Do you have to purchase it on the cloud? Or is it just like available to play?
Oh, no. You have to buy it.
Oh, yeah. Then no, I don't like that.
Yeah, you have to buy it. Yeah. The whole reason for the cloud version is because the storage won't hold on the Switch. So the idea is, and I played a couple of cloud version games, or at least demos on the Switch, and they run really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's like having these games, but that's the idea, just having this large game.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the question is, though, will this only be one giant set? Will you be able to individually purchase the games individually?
Right.
Who knows if there'll be maybe individual physical releases down the road?
Yeah.
But for what the Switch is trying to do, you know, and especially if you own a lot of games, and I'm talking those because there are a large number of people who own a lot of digital games, plus there's a lot of digital-only games. Mm-hmm. Cloud version is just a great way to not take up storage space. So that in itself doesn't bother me. But to your point, yes. You know, what happens down the road when they take the servers down? Things like that. So, you know, pluses and minuses. But nevertheless, Nintendo's finally getting the series.
Well, my question with that, whenever you release something on cloud only, is that is your licensing agreement for the game for a limited time? So in other words, like, they have the rights to Kingdom Hearts for like 2 years. And then after 2 years, hey, guys, this is going to go away now. So that's my real question with that. Physical releases, to me, like, these should be released physically.
You can never be happy about anything, Ken. No.
Actually, no. I said I'm happy that they're coming to Nintendo because I feel like they've always belonged there anyway. I'm always gonna show you the other side of things.
If I may read, this is straight from Nintendo of Europe's Twitter account talking about Kingdom Hearts. So I'm reading this verbatim. But that's why I was looking in, because I was trying to read it. It's small. Quote. These games use cloud streaming technology, and you require a stable and permanent internet connection to play them. Ooh. With free launcher applications, it is required to test the game for a limited amount of time before purchasing an access pass. To use online services, you must create a Nintendo account and accept related agreements, blah, blah, blah. Some online services may not be available in all countries. So yes, these harken to your concerns, and I totally get it. Like, I don't think you're playing these on the plane.
No, I wouldn't be able to.
I mean, you could through Wi-Fi, but
plain Wi-Fi is not good enough. So like, these are games that I wouldn't be able to travel with. It's the type of thing where, to your point, like, where this is where you would buy your OLED dock so you can have your LAN cable and play your Kingdom Hearts game.
Actually, very true. Actually, that's a very good reason to have it.
You can just buy the game on another system like Sony, where you can get physical copies, or you can go back and get the original ones like I have over here.
I have all these on, you're right, I have these on the PlayStation 4.
And actually, I have them on my PS4, but I also have, you know, my PS2 set.
I do have the disc version. In fact, it annoys me that because I have Kingdom, because I have Kingdom Hearts, that is the only reason why I would need to purchase a PS5 with an optical drive, and that annoys me. So
you should always get the Larry. We go back and forth about physical and digital all the time. You still buy some physical copies, so I don't know why you wouldn't want.
You know, it's funny
to buy physical copies.
I buy physical copies, and then when I see it's coming out digitally, I cancel the physical copies. That's what I've been doing lately.
I look forward to the day when, you know, when like Sony says, okay, you're no longer allowed to own this, even though you paid for it. Cause it's in the contract when you hit the agree, when you buy a digital copy, that they have the rights to take it back.
Not in that way, but I know what you're talking about. Like, you can't re-download it. Like, I still have X-Men and the Simpsons arcade games on my PS3 and my Xbox 360. I need to keep those systems to play them.
Yep.
And if I ever delete them, I cannot re-download them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've also lost some games over the years. But nevertheless, again, that is an argument as old as time. But if you're not then interested in playing Kingdom Hearts on the cloud, maybe you're interested in playing, because there's no mention of a cloud anywhere with this, the poorly kept secret GTA trilogy is coming to Switch. And yes, actually all current gen consoles.
Yes. Did you? Yeah, they did. Yeah, exactly. Like, that thing leaked out like immediately.
Oh,
But yeah, Rockstar finally came out and announced this week or last week, whatever it was, that we are getting the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, the definitive edition. And when we're talking about trilogy, we're talking about GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas.
The three that you really want, in all honesty. Yeah,
exactly. And that they were also, according to them, all three games will feature across-the-board upgrades, including graphical improvements and modern gameplay enhancements for all three titles, while still maintaining the classic look and feel of the originals.
I like it.
Go ahead. No, go.
I was going to say, no. I like the new term, but a lot of these re-releases get quality of life upgrades.
Yes, quality. Right, basically, that's what they're telling you. But this is also Rockstar's way of telling you, please shut up about GTA 6. We're not making it. Okay, we're giving you the old favorites that you love, but please don't ask us about GTA 6 anymore. You're not
basically
getting it,
right? So no, not GTA 5 forever.
GTA 5 will continue forever.
So this definitive edition is coming out on, again, the Switch, the PS4 and PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and the PC, and later this year we get all those early next year. Mobile versions will come out on Android and iOS.
Yeah, so it's on everything.
Yeah, no, this I would absolutely pick up. You know, GTA 3's 20th anniversary. In fact, for those, honestly, right? GTA Online is actually getting an update and anniversary theme events as well. So if anyone's playing GTA Online, and of course, Rockstar's gearing up to release GTA 5 for the PS5. Which has now been delayed till 2022.
Yeah, exactly. See, if anybody had any question whatsoever when GTA 6 is coming, the answer is never.
And it never is. But I'm fine on that.
GTA 6 will come out. They're going to build a real city somewhere in the U.S. They'd be like, you want to play GTA 6? Here you go. You can live there.
I remember the idea
totally of the next step.
Like early on, like with like fake trailers, like GTA 6 was thought to be like, basically, I think GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, but like all those combined in just giant open world, but who knows?
Yeah, but 5 is, I think, if you look at the world in 5, I think it's bigger than all of them anyway.
Oh, it is. 100%.
And didn't they just add another area to it?
I think they're opening up buildings or something now.
Yeah, like they're opening up buildings. Yeah, so they're expanding it even more. I mean, I haven't been back in GTA 5 in maybe almost a year.
But, our buddy Frank's been playing GTA 5.
Yeah. No, he's been playing GTA 5 for a long time.
No, like, he stopped for a long time because of PUBG. Okay. But now that we don't play every night, I think he's going back to GTA 5.
Yeah. I did GTA 5 for a very long time until I felt like it was a job. Like I had to go in and it's like, oh, what are the dailies that I have to do? And it's like, and I would struggle through. And then I'm like, you know what? I go, this feels like work. I can't play it anymore. I was like, I've got my arcade all set up in there. And I've got my, what other business? I have like every business in there that you can have, to my understanding. And I got my little jet copter thingy that I ride on all over the place to make everything easier. Like I'm all set up. Like
you're far into the game, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, no. Like I have a solid business. I have like millions of dollars. Like I'm all good. I was like, it's just I have a ton of really cool cars. But two things about the game. One, it feels like a job. You got to go in and do all these chores. Mm-hmm. Literally, you go in and do chores. I go, and then the other thing is that you have people in there that are just jerks. I mean, like I spawn in the game and 10 seconds later somebody shoots me in the head. And I'm like, that's not why I want to play. So,
but to be fair, you probably spawned, and in 20 seconds, you're probably going to try and kill a prostitute for money. So,
no, I can't even find. First of all, I can't find them.
Maybe they took them out.
Yeah, but no. Then the other thing, it's like somebody shoots me, and then they drive off all happy, and then I have to get on my little jet cycle, and then shoot a homing missile at them just to get back. And it's like, and I've done that before. Awesome. Revenge, But I spend most of my time in that game now just going to the casino.
It's like you do in real life.
Exactly. So I'm like, why am I doing this? Let me just go to Vegas for the weekend.
Well, nevertheless, for those of us who don't experience all that, you will be able to play later this year. GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Definitely it would be a worthy pickup. I don't know anything about cloud versions for the Switch, but right now, it's good to go.
I want the quality of life upgrade to the hot coffee glitch.
Oh, imagine bring that back in San Andreas. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
One thing I wanted to throw at you when you were talking about Kingdom Hearts, because it was related to it, so I want to circle back to that. It's just something, something Disney related.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we mentioned this before. The Disney Classic Games collection that's coming out.
Yes.
So they're adding the Jungle Book and the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin to the Classic Collection.
Yep.
And that's going to be released. So the original Disney Classics collection was Lion King and Aladdin, right? Now they're releasing the Super Nintendo Aladdin and the Jungle Book, because the Super Nintendo Aladdin was different from the Genesis one.
It was.
Yeah, they were like two different games.
Absolutely.
Whereas the Lion King one was the same impossible game on both consoles. Yes. But I don't even remember how I beat that game, but I beat the Lion King. I worked my butt off to beat that game.
I didn't even get past the first level.
Never beat Aladdin though. So there's a new collection that's going to be coming out with the Jungle Book added. Mm-hmm. However, if you already own, and this is coming out November 9th, physical and digital. If you already own the Disney Classic Collection, if you've already bought that one, mm-hmm. you can download the Jungle Book and the Super Nintendo Aladdin as DLC. Good. That was the thing I wanted to announce. Yeah, because like I already have the collection on Switch.
Oh, so, do you? Oh, okay. Yeah, me too.
I have it on Switch. I don't want to buy it again. So it's cool to know that I can just add the other two pieces as DLC. However, it will bother me knowing that I don't have it on my physical disc.
Hey, look, it'll be $10 I think it's going to be $10 mm-hmm. for the DLC. The Game Boy games are really fun on there as well. I'm definitely going to do that. I'll download it and give it a whirl. But yes, very good information.
Yes, excellent information.
On top of that, yeah, there's a lot of games, actually a lot of cool stuff. Here's another one to throw at you. And there's literally, this was mentioned as like someone was being interviewed, and I think they mentioned this by accident, and they never circle back around to talk about it. But the developer of Friday the 13th looks like they're working on a new Ghostbusters game.
Yes. So Ilphonic, who created the Friday the 13th game and the Predator Hunting Ground?
Hunting Grounds.
Yeah, which I was not a fan of. It was actually available as a free download, I think, last month on PlayStation.
It was, yes.
Yeah. So, but I remember I played the demo when it first came out, and I'm like, okay.
Well, it played the same as Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah, it was four people against the Predator.
Okay.
So now to your point, they're coming out with, they've announced that they are creating a Ghostbusters game, and it will follow the same format where it's going to be like, I don't know if it's 4v1 or whatever it is, but it's going to be a multiplayer online game, which to me sounds awesome, especially coming on the heels. Now they just announced it. I don't know how far along in development they are, but just coming on the heels of Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is going to be coming out soon in theaters.
Yes. That's the whole idea. Yeah. Literally they were talking and the guy was like, yeah, no, we're working on this, working on that, working on Ghostbusters. Let's see what else is happening in the world today. So it's very interesting. And I think Ghostbusters can lend itself to that 4v1 mm-hmm. or 1v4 aspect. Imagine, I'd play a Slimer.
Oh yeah, I would play a Slimer as Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, as Viggo.
Why is my drippings with goo?
But yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of good options, or the librarian ghost would be kind of fun to play as, there's so many options with the Ghostbusters franchise.
The Scapelli brothers. Only,
yep. Oh yeah, exactly. So, Howard Ramis's ghost. Ghost Egon. I'm very excited about that. To me, Ilphonic proved that they can make a really good multiplayer game with Friday the 13th, not so much with Predator, but with Friday the 13th. So I'm looking forward to see what they manage to put together.
Right, cool.
In other news, though, with Ilphonic, and I don't know if this is related to Ilphonic, but since we're talking about them, they created the Friday the 13th game, which was awesome. And by the way, like, I don't think another game has come out that had, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a multiplayer game where it's like 7 versus 1. Because in that game, it's 8 players online, 7 counselors, and 1 Jason.
All right.
So, it's a good number of people. Okay. But a couple of years ago, like the game was super successful. They were creating, you know, DLC for it and everything and expanding and all this stuff. And then they just abruptly stopped. And the issue was because the rights to the Friday the 13th franchise were actually being taken to court by the screenwriter, because he claimed that the rights to Friday the 13th were his, because he wrote the script for the first Friday the 13th. The director of the film, Sean Cunningham, he was the one who licensed the franchise out to Illfonic, because he claimed he had the rights to it. So
I figured it became
this whole big lawsuit back and forth.
See, I figured as a writer, like if you're writing a movie for, it's one thing if you wrote the script and then you brought it to the studio, but if the studio hires you to write the movie. See, that's where I always got confused with this lawsuit. Like, did Friday the 13th start out as like an indie project or?
Well, it was always an indie project, but it was, he wrote it and then it was picked up.
So he wrote it and then sold it to the studio.
Right, exactly. Okay. Because a lot of scripts, that's what happens. I mean, you have your Hollywood writers where they come to you and say, oh, you know, we want you to work on something. Yep. But in a lot of cases, it's the screenwriter who's writing it and then saying, hey, I have this movie. This topic is close to my heart, just a little bit.
Well, I figured I'd ask you.
Yeah. So the screenwriter Victor Miller sued because he's like, hey, I'm not making any money off of, you know, this game because it was licensed out by the director. So anyway, this went to court. As a result of it going to court, Illfonic had to stop working on the game. And that's what sucked. They weren't allowed to release any of their any upgrades, any download, anything they had planned. They literally abruptly stopped. So what they did was they were just fixing bugs in it and everything like that they could for a while. And then they just left it alone.
Just stopped, yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, all right, fine. The game still runs and you can play it, and I still do.
Oh, it's totally fun.
But now, a couple weeks ago, in court, Victor Miller, the screenwriter, actually won the lawsuit claiming. So now he has gotten the rights to the original Friday the 13th. Now, granted, I know this is video game related, but it's just the first film. Mm-hmm. That's his. He wrote the first one. The sequels were not written by him. But anyway, so he has the rights to Friday the 13th. So now any type of project that needs to come out with it will go through him, unless, you know, they counter, you know, how they can bring it back to court and all that stuff. So I'm curious to see. I was secretly hoping that Illfonic would be able to now can approach Victor Miller and say, hey, can we continue this? We would like to, because there's still a lot of people who play the game.
Yeah.
So I'm now hoping that we'll get all the upgrades that they were planning for the game, because some of the stuff sounded really cool. And I think I'm trying to find, I don't know if I don't have the article up, but there was an interview with Illfonic and they were talking about all the content updates they had.
I remember they had like a list. Yeah, they had this list, almost looked like a map of Crystal Lake, like as they were tracking as they updated the game. I think we're going to get to even like a single player campaign mode. Or something like
that. And there is a little bit of a single player mode in there, but there was like a whole, they were actually setting up they were setting up a, if the article will open, come on Eurogamer, let's go.
Gotta take a while to get to you from Europe.
Yeah, I don't know, it was Gun Media and Illfonic, the two companies, but the whole idea was they were going to do an Among Us style mode before the lawsuit blocked development.
So basically what
the Among Us style mode would be like, where is it?
5 campers and Jason, and then going, which one of us is going to kill everybody else?
No, that's what it was. So like,
maybe
it was
the one in the mask.
No. It was an Among Us style mode. Everybody starts as a counselor. There is no Jason. right?
Okay.
And the object is you have to find the mask from Friday the 13th, part five. When you find the mask on the board, mm-hmm. that person becomes Jason.
Ah, interesting.
And then, you know, so like, so there was that was coming out. They were coming out with a slumber party clothing pack.
Yeah.
They were coming out with a prom pack. So you'd get murdered in your tux and stuff. So like they had other things that were coming down the line and unfortunately okay. did not. I'm hoping now there's an opportunity for them to go back to it.
We shall see. Sure. Victor likes to make money.
Victor does like to make money. So you just approach him with enough money. And
so a couple of things real quick I want to mention before we run out of time. This is just a quick hit, folks. Finally, after a couple of years, the Game Awards will be back in full in front of an audience, in front of the Microsoft Theater. December 2021, December 9th, 2021, in fact.
Nice.
So finally, more very feeling cool. of normalcy. So that's excellent. Very good. Even though I did kind of like last year's version with no audience, because without the audience, you don't get the delays of the claps and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You just do it and you move forward. So I don't know how I'm going to feel with an audience again. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Boo. Go away, audience.
Konami, as far as I know, only in Japan. Konami is running a contest for mm-hmm. indie creators and developers where they can take a Konami property and mm-hmm. basically make a sequel, a remake that could lead to a commercial release.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, very cool. I don't know. I when pulling up the article, everything's in Japanese, so I don't know which game specifically. I don't think like a Castlevania or anything, but mm-hmm. you know, like Gradius, you know, some of, and I think more of them are more like Japanese related, but nevertheless, very cool. Say you could pick out a certain character or a mechanic from an old title, maybe combine genres before. And the prize, let me see here. Entries from September 30th to January 6th, Japanese time. One winner will win a grand prize trophy and 2 million yen, which ooh. Whatever that translates to your local dollar denomination.
That's a good amount of money.
Criteria for judgment here real quick. The 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 5 criteria. Nope, sorry, 3. The game should radiate passion for the chosen genre and title, as well as convey a sense of innovation and the character of its creator. The content is judged to be feasible for development by the applicant or a development team, including said applicant. And the work must meet the application requirements and application rules, which I'm sure you would get from somewhere else. So nevertheless, very cool that we might actually get maybe some reboots or sequels done by some of these wonderful indie developers.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yes. So very cool on that one. And then two more things real for me to mention. First of all, I love this story. Recently, and I don't know where in the world this happened, but at a recent Bring Me the Horizon concert. So check out the band Bring Me the Horizon. Someone was in the audience, I guess bootlegging the concert, with a Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
In 2021.
Why not?
So I think that's very cool, actually. Yeah. First of all, that you can get this rock concert and someone just taped it in 3D, and let alone not being knocked over. While holding that system in your hand mm-hmm. while recording. But I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, someone actually tweeted, they're like, what is going on here? Like you see a couple of cell phones in a 3DS.
Hey, you know what? Kudos to that guy for being innovative, okay?
Yes, very cool. And finally for me, and I really hope this gets a physical release. You know, I've purchased a lot recently of indie mm-hmm. games, you know, brand new games for old hardware, mostly Game Boy games.
Yep.
Game Boy seems to be the way to go with a lot of these indie developers. And there's this one game which you can pick up for free. You can download the ROM. You can play it on the computer right now. But it's a game called GB Corp. And basically, it's like you're running this corporation. You have this office, work office, and you hire Game Boys. And the Game Boys give output, which gives you money, all that stuff. You hire and you fire Game Boys. Mm-hmm. But what's cool is you get different aspects and you get different work output depending on the type of Game Boy you're using.
Oh.
So you'll get something different with an original Game Boy, as opposed to a Game Boy Color, a Game Boy Pocket, a Game Boy Advance, and even a Super Game Boy.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yes, and they all do different things. I love, because I have pretty much all those systems, and I would love to get this as a physical release. On the website, the what is that? There's a website, itch.io, itch.io, which a lot of publishers do put their ROMs up on. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are for free. Some are for a, you know, a, what's the word I'm looking for? Donation.
Okay.
And but you can play them on ROMs, you know, like emulators, I should say. Like mm-hmm. you can download a Game Boy emulator that will emulate different Game Boys. And that's how a lot of people play. But, you know, I asked him, like, hey, this would be awesome if you can do a physical release. And he said, you know, certainly something I'm working on down the road.
Nice. Okay, that's cool.
Yes, developed by Dr. Ludos is the gentleman's name.
Ooh, sounds ominous.
So definitely check it out. It's called GB Corp. It's an amazing idea. And hopefully one day we'll get a physical release because I would love to play this.
All right. Sounds cool.
And with that, that's pretty much all the news I got.
I got two things really quick.
Bring it.
One is there is a game that came out last week. We were talking about Smash
Bros. Metroid Dread. We talked about it.
Well, we talked about Metroid Dread, but there was another game that came out last week, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about this.
Yeah, from what I understand, the reviews are generally positive, not like super amazing, but generally positive.
No, yeah.
And they do say it does differ from like Smash Brothers. It's not your straight up like kind of Smash Brothers type of thing. There are 20 total characters. They brought the voice actors back for a lot of them.
That's cool.
Which is kind of cool. So, and that's kind of what I want. Like, I'm curious to see, like, just like what happens when you're fighting, like what the characters are saying.
Like, Patrick
Star
versus Michelangelo.
Yes, exactly.
Can you please do your Patrick again?
No.
Okay.
It was probably terrible.
Actually, I thought it was not too big.
So. Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't even try SpongeBob, but no, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So exactly. So it should be got some good reviews. I'm actually curious enough to want to check it out.
Okay.
And then the last thing I wanted to bring up, because this dropped, there are a couple of things actually for this franchise on the heels of an announcement. Now, Resident Evil 7 has become the first game in the series to ship 10 million copies.
Really?
Yep. First one to hit 10 million.
Wow.
Which is huge.
What did the first Resident Evil do?
Not 10 million. Right. So Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, which I have, by the way, and I really want to play it in VR because I'm sure it would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Definitely want to play that in VR. But Resident Evil 7, 10 million copies. And you know, to feed into that, at New York Comic Con last week, the trailer for Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Yep. Well, dropped. No, it's no, not a question it? Mark. It's welcome to Raccoon City.
That's what it is. I wasn't sure of the title. Like really pretty. So yeah, Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, which is kind of a prequel to the Resident Evil franchise. And when we say prequel, we're talking about the movie franchise because this game, this movie looks like they're actually picking up from the original Resident Evil game.
Yes, I cannot wait. And look,
It looks good.
The Mila Jovovich series was phenomenal. Fun. It got a little campy near the end, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But the first one, her first movie was phenomenal. But yes, you always have that complaint of like, oh, but it's not, it really wasn't like, it was in a mansion, but it wasn't in the mansion.
Right.
But you're right, Ant. I watched this trailer and when they get to the mansion, I'm like, okay, this is what I was waiting for.
Well, what's funny is like while I was watching the trailer, I was flashbacking to the opening of Resident Evil. And I'm like, wow, the game.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, I go, they actually went with a good port, like the opening of it with the Star's helicopter crash and them running to the mansion and stuff. Like I saw pieces of that in the trailer. So I'm like, ooh, I go, they actually did go back to the game.
Even when they walk into the mansion and the giant staircase. Oh my God. I got chills.
They do the doors opening and the whole reveal. Like just the trailer itself was, will the movie be good? We'll find out. But still, like, I like what they're doing with it. So I'm really curious. Oh, we got a puppy. Hello, puppy.
Say hi, Stella.
Hi, Stella.
Yes, but no, yes, that so, yeah, Stella, yeah. Stella was one of the zombie dudes.
She looks good.
No, yeah, right.
For a zombie dog.
This movie looks fantastic. And it's you're right. You about to pass out? Okay, we're almost done. And you know, it's funny now. You know, at the recording of this time, we're in October of 2021. You know, a year and a half into the pandemic, or since the pandemic, I should say. And now everything's like only in theater or exclusively in theaters.
Yes, we're back to that.
Now it sounds like an event. Whenever I hear exclusive to theaters, it sounds like something.
So, what are you talking about? Disney Plus just released an event, Muppet Haunted Mansion dropped, which on Friday. I
plan on watching, actually.
I actually just watched it this morning.
Oh, good. No spoilers.
Oh boy!
Other than the, oh, please, I don't. The only thing I'm afraid of is Kermit's new voice.
Oh no, he sounded fine.
I mean, look, I know it's no Jim Henson, obviously, because he's dead. Mm-hmm. But yes. You know, is what it is. It's with Raccoon City, though. Yes. Well, welcome to Raccoon City. Yes, definitely looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Drops November. I want to say maybe mid-November.
Yeah, somewhere in the
November. I forgot the exact date, but very, very cool. And yes, you know, definitely check it out in your local theater.
Yes. So. And that is all that I have.
All right, and that's all we have. Yes. So very good. Everything held up this week, which is good. The VPN stayed true, which I'm happy about. And this part, I think, actually worked out last week as well, because those two Muppets didn't know how to do it anyway. Where can they find us?
You mean, where can they find me? I'm separating from you guys can find us on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter at retrogamerspod. You can watch us on YouTube and IGTV. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
The email does work.
The email does work. I have tested it.
All right. Excellent. And another wonderful episode.
Yes, so, it was
good stuff. If you can, I'm telling you, buy it today. Dread. It's not going to go on sale anytime soon.
Yeah. I didn't even talk about the fact that I actually completed Link's Awakening this week.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Totally missed that. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. And we will, there's a cliffhanger for you folks.
Yes.
And we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.